of us have heard of the resurrection because we are, after all, Christians. But what does it mean to us? C.S. Lewis asked this question, what are we going to make of Christ? He answers this by saying, there's no question of what we can make of him. It is entirely a question of what he intends to make of us. You must accept or reject the story. It's easy to accept the resurrection story. It's easy to reject the resurrection story. And even John's gospel told us that one of the apostles was not with the other apostles when Jesus came. That person was Thomas. When the other disciples excitedly told Thomas what they had experienced, that they saw Jesus, Thomas responded immediately, I don't believe. He announced he wanted proof. He said he had to see the nail holes. He had to put his finger in Jesus' side, and then he would believe. If I were Jesus, I don't know if I'd go along with that. But Jesus did. And he appeared to Thomas at a later time. Now, after Jesus appeared to Thomas, Thomas said he believed. But here we are 2,000 years later, and many people throughout the world still doubt. Many people do not believe. We have heard of the resurrection, and intellectually we know about the resurrection. But do we believe it in our hearts? Have we really accepted the mystery of resurrection? Let me get back to that in a minute. First, I want to look at the additional reading from the book of Revelation. Revelation is one of the most interesting books in the New Testament because of its often strange and bizarre symbolism. The author John, who may not be the same John who wrote the Gospel, probably wrote the book about 95 A.D. We believe that Jesus died in about the year 33. And what I want to examine in the book of Revelation is the view that John had of the risen Christ some 62 years later. Basically, all of the letters of Paul, James, Peter, Jude, and John, and the books of Hebrew and Revelation are reactions and theologies of the people who knew Jesus or people who knew Jesus. They knew people who knew Jesus. So none of these books and none of these letters are the gospel of Jesus. Only the four gospels tell of the teaching of Jesus and his life. The letters and books that follow of the gospels tell the various authors' reactions to Jesus, the history of the church, of how those authors believe we should follow Jesus, and explanations of how to solve the problems of some of the churches which they were having in the early years. And the book of Revelation is one of those books. Now, in today's reading, we learn of Thomas's doubts. Now, some 62 years after Jesus died, we have John's view of the gospel, John's view of Christ, John's view of the resurrection, John's view of the meaning of salvation. In another sermon, we can probably examine Paul's view, Peter's view, James' view, Jude's view, and the book of Hebrews. But let's stay with the book of Revelation today. Those who were at the symposium today learned that the Amish have 3-hour worship services. I don't think that's going to work today. To get another look of looking at the time frame, let's say that Jesus died this year in 2013. That means that the book of Revelation will be written 62 years from now in the year 2072. Looking at it another way, let's say that Jesus died in the year 1951. That means that John will be writing his book this year. Recently, I recorded a 4-star movie, 1950s, called The Forbidden Planet. When we started to watch it, we immediately recognized the changes that 50-plus years can make. The special effects of that sci-fi movie were rudimentary by today's standards. So, by the way, Susie and I never did finish the movie. It's the beauty of recording. Back to Revelation. Why is the span of 62 years from the time of Jesus' death to John's writing so important? Because it shows that John and his community had 6 decades to reflect on the mystery of Christ's resurrection. What happened in those 62 years? First of all, Christianity started to spread. Just read the Acts of the Apostles. Secondly, the Romans totally destroyed the Jewish temple in the year 70. Third, the author of Revelation, John, heard the false teaching, saw the persecution, experienced the return to idol worship, the increase of immorality, and the increase in complacency of spirit in the churches that he knew, the seven churches in Asia. So while the book of Revelation was originally addressed to them, it was chosen to be included in the New Testament as a testimonial to Christian belief. Additionally, the book was included because it is a caution to all of us who are in the same situation as the members of those churches. Christians are often persecuted for their beliefs. It is very easy for us Christians to become complacent. It is easy for our spirituality to dry up. Immorality may flourish, and false teachings can creep into churches. And we, even though followers of Christ, can worship the false idols of our culture. Therefore, Revelation asks us to remember Christ's suffering, and now know that Christ is in glory forever. One thing to remember about the author John, perhaps in spite of his fantastic visions, which are worthy of magical special effects and movies, is that he's writing to congregations who are in great pain. He's trying to bolster them, endeavoring to give them hope and striving to strengthen them. And where are we? We pay bills, utilities, mortgages, rent, car payments, and wonder how much the next trip to the food market will cost us. We may have an intolerable boss while working in an unbearable atmosphere, yet cannot quit our jobs. We may not get along with relatives, yet cannot divorce ourselves from them. The Easter season begins with Jesus suffering, but ends on the highest of high notes. And here we are, 1 week after Easter, and our daily lives remain the same. There doesn't seem to be any new revelation. An author, Frederica Matthews Green, points this out. At Easter, the stores do not play hymns such as, "O Sacred Head Surrounded," like they play Silent Night at Christmas. There are no placards with gaily colored cutouts of the flogging at the pillar, like there are placards of the manger scene at Christmas. No car dealers are promoting great empty tomb-sized discounts on Toyotas. None of these happens. Life just goes on. So, like John's congregations, keep striving to live a life of faith. Yet the world around us often seems to want to crush us. We may often be discouraged. John's churches were discouraged. They were persecuted. And might some of the people here in this congregation feel the same? So what does John tell us? First, that God has care of the world. Perhaps not the way we would take care of the world if we were God, but we are not God, and we don't have the wisdom of God. John also reminds us that in the end, God will prevail. God is the Omega, and no one else. No emperor, no Caesar, no other world personage, no one. God is Alpha. God is Omega. What makes Easter is the Jesus resurrection proves that God is supreme, that dominion belongs solely to the divine. In the Gospels, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is near. He doesn't say it has arrived. Jesus told us that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray that his kingdom may come. His kingdom may come as we share in his work in the world, and his work is not finished. It will not be completed until the Omega of time. John's message in Revelation is that while all of us are waiting for the Omega time, we are to live in Christ. We are to make our daily decisions in light of Christ. When we pray, and what we do and what we say affects all those around us, at our homes, at our workplaces, at our schools, while we are at sports, while we're at hobbies. John urged the seven churches to be signs of God's power, the power of Christ's resurrection. And our task at this church, First Congregational Church of Wauwatosa, a specific church, is also to be signs of God's power, the power of Christ's resurrection. John asked the seven churches he knew to be courageous in spite of their troubles, and that's our task also. At this church, to be courageous in our culture, in our society, in our own lives, and in this congregation. And where does the courage come from? From the firm belief in the resurrection of Jesus. In our firm conviction that the resurrected Christ is the head of this church. How does the does the mystery of Christ's resurrection affect you and me? Well, first of all, it is a mystery known and unknown. It is known in that we follow Christ and are the members of His church. It is unknown in that we cannot readily grasp and wrap our heads around it. What does it really, really mean that Christ was resurrected and He ascended into heaven, into space? Our senses cannot easily identify with the resurrection. We know of the incarnation, and so we can imagine it. We can sense it. We can see a mother and picture a Mary. We can see a baby and describe a baby like Jesus. The infant Jesus was touched and heard and seen. Someone changed the baby's diaper. The baby Jesus was present in our world. We have a strong and thick rope to hold on to in order to grasp the mystery of the incarnation. It may be a slippery rope for some, but there is still a rope. Simply stated, we have a lot of proof that Jesus lived. But the resurrection is different. There is almost nothing, if even a thread. Where is this Jesus? Thomas doubted, and then Jesus appeared to him and showed him his hands and side. We may doubt, but Jesus is not appearing to us. So what are we left with? We're left with the witness of the people of that time, a lot of people at that time, and what they went through. We are also left with the witness of all people throughout history who have been touched by Jesus, and they are in the millions upon millions. We are left with the highest of Christian mysteries, the resurrection. And what does John tell us? That Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. So once we accept the mystery of the resurrection, then life does become different for us. We have a new awareness of who we are. We have a new appreciation of people around us. We have a new consciousness of God Himself and of salvation history, and even a new gratitude for this planet Earth. When we make the statement in our mind and in our heart that Jesus is risen, then we accept that God is God and we are not a God. Our perspective of life changes. And I believe this is what Jesus meant when He said we must be born again. Jesus wants us to have a new vista of life. A new vista when we look at ourselves, a new vista when we look at people, and a new vista when we look at the world around us. This is new birth. When John the Baptist used baptism, he immersed individuals. And when we accept the mystery of the incarnation deep in our heart and our intellect, we jump into the deep end of a swimming pool. We're surrounded by water, and we leave soaking wet. Nothing is the same. Maybe another way of trying to realize this is to place a tea bag in a cup of hot water. The water is never the same again. What we realize is that Christ's resurrection gives new life. And it may be that without the resurrection, our own life becomes barren, desolate, and hollow. When life is futile, empty, and a vacuum, people may look to immoral activities, abuse alcohol, misuse drugs to fill their void. Christ's resurrection enhances who we are. Our self has meaning in this cosmic world. God walks with us, and God is nearer than before. Now, all people on this earth, whether we believe in the mystery of the resurrection or not, or to whatever degree we believe, have insight because of the mystery into God and His world. During life, we are led to God by loving parents, spouses, relatives, friends, sunsets, music, art, devoted cats and dogs. In fact, by all of God's created world. And the mystery of Christ's resurrection takes us to a divine level in our human attempt to union with God. And what God wants from us and with us more than anything else is union with Him. Some may see religion as a crutch, and I think that's their right. I see religion differently. I see religion based on Jesus' teaching and His life and His resurrection as liberating. Some may see religion as giving false hope. That's their view. I see the mystery of the resurrection as giving true hope, a deep and real meaning hope. Blaise Pascal, who had great experience of God, wrote this: "It is the heart which experiences God. This then is faith, God felt by the heart, not by reason. Faith is a gift of God. Do not believe that we said it was a gift of reasoning. And then he added this great phrase, the knowledge of God is very far from the love of him. So when I look at John's book of Revelation, I read an author who had often exotic visions, but an author who had beautiful statements and deep belief in the mystery of the resurrection and of who Christ was and what Christ did. And this is what John wrote in the book of Revelation in chapter 15, one of many great passages. Great and amazing are your deeds, Lord God the Almighty. Lord, who will not glorify your name, for you alone are holy.
This morning in our church's caring corner, we remember and pray for Doris Swire, who passed away March 19th. Services will be held on Friday, July 19th at 2 o'clock here at First Church. We pray for Shirley Miller, who passed away March 24th. Services have been held. We pray for and remember Karen Sieber, who passed away April 4th. Services will be held next Sunday here at the church at 3 p.m. We pray for Joyce Orr, who's in the hospital in Chicago. We pray for Nancy Winkle, recovering at the Congregational Home. We keep in our prayers Elizabeth Ann and Alexander Charles, children of Giovanni and Julie Felsilda, grandchildren of Bonnie Greenwald, who were born March 13th. The children continue to get stronger and develop at the St. Joseph NICU. We pray for the people in our church who are homebound and cannot worship with us on a regular basis. We pray for the people and intentions listed in our prayer book. We pray for the families of all shapes and sizes who are hurting in body, mind, or spirit. Those who sought quiet pastoral support and those who have not. We hold them in prayer because if one member of Christ's body is hurting, the whole body needs healing. Join me now in silent prayer.